Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Know, O honored guest, that far from being mere literary relics from a bygone age, the heroic tales that first emerged in ancient times in and around the Mediterranean Sea are alive and well today. Indeed, they are thriving in the modern world. The Olympic Games, instituted by the Hercules of Thebes to honor the 12 immortals, are now celebrated worldwide. Transpersonal psychologists have taught us how to detect and interact with the Greek gods that reside within our very own psyches. And tale tellers, using media undreamed of by our ancestors, still recount the past, present, and future exploits of the Hellenic deities, demigods, heroes, and fabulous beasts. Now, my friends, release the hold of your current reality, relax, and enter the realm of timeless tales. Welcome to Sword and Sandal Cinema. Today, we're going to have a brief taste of Legends of Hercules, Adventures to Come. Then we're going to meet with Ron Carson of Ron Carson's Coliseum to discuss Ulysses. And then we have a segment with Brian Walker of Brian's Drive-In Theater. So let us start. In modern mythology, the Greek gods, demigods, and heroes exist within the Marvel universe, as well as the deities and demigods of other people as well, plus a few that have been created for the Marvel universe, like the Eternals by Jack Kirby. In a tale called The Evolutionary War, which was a major crossover that involved, I believe, 15 titles, the High Evolutionary, who's one of these complex villains that exist in comic books and I guess in real life, he planned on setting off a bomb that would evolve humanity, and he planned on guiding the evolved humanity toward even greater heights. And of course, he was thwarted by our heroes, the Avengers, and these weren't even the active Avengers. These were the reservists that did that, including Hercules, who had to sneak away from Mount Olympus, where he was timed out by Zeus. But anyway, they faced the High Evolutionary, and Hercules took the brunt of the evolution bomb blast, as did the High Evolutionary, and they vanished. And no one knew what happened to them, but they had somehow evolved beyond their current state. And Hercules, being already an Olympian god, evolved beyond godhood. And in a what if called What If the Avengers Lost the Evolutionary War, we got to see what would have happened if they had not succeeded in stopping the High Evolutionary. And they leave it up to the reader to decide whether humanity would have been better off or worse off in the short term and the long term. But we're not going in that direction today. We're going to be looking at the Evolutionary War in greater detail on an upcoming episode. So I'll leave that. And in the interim, the quest to find out what happened to Hercules started in number 406. And Thor went to someplace called the Black Galaxy, and he was able to retrieve Hercules and the High Evolutionary from the containers in which they'd been placed by the mysterious Celestials. Hercules was grateful, but it became very clear after they came back to Earth that he wasn't quite the same. He started to experience fear in some of his encounters. So whereas before his fights were a gift that he gave to his opponents to demonstrate the glory of Olympus and his prowess, here he was starting to become afraid. It didn't really hold him back from fighting, but it did make him more hesitant, more unsure of himself, and so forth. And this continued for many issues. Their time on Earth lasted until issue number 414. And then number 415 was a retelling and an expansion of the origin of Thor before we got to the Black Galaxy saga. And that, too, we will explore at greater length in the future. But it wasn't until Thor himself was threatened and nearly vanquished, that Hercules found his courage and was able to overcome his fear, and he was back to his old self again, craving naught more than wine, woman, and song. So this was a very interesting period in Marvel Hercules' life, and as I've been exploring these myths over the decades and now exploring them in greater detail, I'm beginning to see patterns, which we'll be exploring on future episodes of Legends of Hercules. But I just wanted to set the foundation for that tonight because we will be expanding upon it in upcoming episodes. We're going to listen now to If You Can Dream, and we'll connect with Ron Carson. See you all in a couple of minutes.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real, dream till it's real, dream till it's real.
Dream till it's real. That's If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. Virginia was very kind to let us use her music on the show, and she's been winning awards left and right for her music. So I'm very happy for her and very honored to have her music accompanying us on Sword and Sandal Cinema. And now for the second portion of the program, Ron Carson's Coliseum. Greetings and welcome, Ron. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. I am fine. Thank you very much. We are going to do our final screening of Ron Carson's Coliseum for 2020. And
yeah.
Here's to a awesome new year. There's a lot of good things await your program for 2021, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. And I look forward to also having my dear, dear honeymooners buddy, Andrea Tetrani, joining us also as a member of the team, which she'll be instrumental come January in our future projects. So big welcome to Andrea as the new year is going to set amongst us. And we're looking forward to presenting more great presentations as the curtain comes up on another edition of Ron Carson's Coliseum for this Christmas week, as a matter of fact. First of all, I also want to say I hope our friends who are celebrating the Festival of Lights had a very happy and healthy Hanukkah last week. for the past 8 evenings from December 10th to December 18th. They were in their celebration, which has very, very much significant meaning. And also, you know, with Christmas on the way, we're also going to be celebrating Kwanzaa on the day after, on the 26th, and Boxing Day for our friends up north in Canada. So we have everything covered over here for the holidays.
That is fantastic. And yes, there are lots of interesting things coming ahead. I'm working on the first quarter of 2021 right now. And one thing I will share with everyone is that there will be an audiovisual show in addition to our audio shows and our Facebook groups coming in the first quarter that will be tied to Sword and Sandal Cinema. It will also be tied to charity work that we're actively doing in and around New Jersey. So it's a pretty big project, and it's involved lots of people in several states in and around New Jersey. So I'm really looking forward to it. And once we've launched that major project, this will be a regular part of our programming. So it's all very exciting. And I'll share also with everybody that this was originally supposed to be on public television. I'd attended many meetings, and we were moving forward with it until the pandemic kind of put that on hold. Given the fact that we live in an age where now we have Jetsons-type technology where we could talk to each other over television screens, we decided to move forward with it and do it ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that, because... And, you know, like I said, despite what the obstacles are going through in life here, we're still triumphant. And like I said, the Coliseum remains open, of course. Right. Audience members, of course, have masks on and are properly social distanced. And they're going to enjoy this fantastic 1954 presentation of a epic movie that was also opening up to the floodgates of your moniker, Hercules, as a matter of fact. And that, of course, ignited the peplum genre that, you know, we've all learned to grow in love that we were all accustomed to during the early 60s. So this is actually a prelude to your particular character, Ulysses, of course, we're talking about. And, of course, if you remember our Greek history, this is based out of Homer's epic poem that was found in the Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Odyssea in Greek. And the other volume was called the Iliad, if you remember.
Yes, of course. Those things live on in my consciousness, and they're kept alive through me, and I'm kept alive through them. So I have a good relationship with the tales of old.
And this is the reason why I chose this as the final film of 2020, in honor of paying homage to our ever-gracious radio host, of course, who I not only say this because you're my cousin and my brother, but because of the fact that you are Hercules Invictus, and you are carrying the tradition alive. And through this movie is what resulted in the birth of your character on the silver screen as well back in the late 50s. Of course, this is famous Steve Reeves making that role iconic and will always be, you know, the cinema's version of Hercules in my eyes.
Did you know that both Hercules and Odysseus have ties to Limnos in the same story, actually?
Yes, I did. We remember we talked about that one time.
With Philoctetes, yes. When the Greeks could not win the Trojan War, as recounted in the Iliad, or the Iliad, they were told that they could not triumph over Troy until they had the bow of Hercules. And Hercules gave his bow to Philoctetes, who was abandoned on Limnos because he was bit by a snake and had a festering wound. So Odysseus and several others went to try to get the bow from Philoctetes, who, of course, did not want to give it up, because how could you give up something given to you by the mighty Hercules? And also he was very upset that they left him on Limnos with a festering wound. But Hercules, who by that time had died and had ascended to Olympus and was a full-blown Olympian god, made his first appearance as a full divinity on Limnos. and encouraged Philoctetes to give them the bow, which of course he did, and they won the Trojan War, and Odysseus had further adventures in the Odyssey, or the Odyssey, and there was a peplum movie, which was Odysseus or Ulysses versus Hercules. That was made into a Sons of Hercules movie. So that happened after the adventures of the Iliad. So our the subject of tonight's film and many an ancient myth and my divine ancestor have a lot in common, and they've adventured in the past. There are some ancient accounts that say that Laertes and Hercules were very good friends. They were Argonauts together. So there's a lot of connections there.
Well, that's another reason why I chose the film, because of the fact that Ulysses is the prelude to Hercules, and kind of like all began the sword and sandal craze, even though it was back in the mid-50s when this was out in theaters, not only nationwide but worldwide. And you know our native Greece embraced this picture when it first came out.
Of course, yeah. It was still playing in these the neighborhood projections on walls when we were kids. Because I know, I think we saw it together, and I'd seen it another time playing, making the rounds and being projected on a wall as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do remember seeing that with you. I mean, see, this is what makes us so closely knit together when it comes to the sword and sandal genre. Because of the fact that, you know, ever since we were kids, we actually were partaking in this particular realm of motion pictures. And, you know, we always would watch them on TV on the Million Dollar Movie. Whenever there was a peplum movie out in the theater, you and I would be out there in the front row and center watching these epic pictures on the silver screen. And they just don't make movies like that anymore. And the mission that we have here in this so-called 21st century is to basically let people know that this particular brand of film is iconic and epic and timeless. And anybody who just does not have any knowledge about the peplum realm still has time to discover it.
Right. We're keeping this alive, this mythology that was inspired by antiquity, but it came forth in our day and age using the artistic and creative mediums of our time. And it continues, too. Like, there's the new peplum that people are calling everything that came out after Gladiator by Russell Crowe.
Yes, that came out in the turn of the century, I remember, 2000.
And Nicholas Dyack, who's another host on our shows, he wrote a book, he edited it actually, called The New Peplum, that deals with the genre, and he's working on a sequel now as well.
Oh, really? That's great.
It's fantastic. And the comic books, we've covered comic books, we've covered video games, the ancient legends continue to live on, as does ancient history as well, because as you've covered both Roman and biblical epics in the past, we find that these events that happened long ago and were immortalized in legend continue to live on in our day and continue to speak to us.
Absolutely. And this is the reason why when we screen movies in Ron Carson's Coliseum, that it is peplum-oriented only. I mean, we could only stick with this genre of motion picture because we want to keep the spirit of this particular brand of film alive. And that's the only reason why we resurrect a lot of these classic titles, because of the fact that we want audiences that are not familiar with what we grew up with to partake in it right now in more ways than one, because it's basically one of these, you know, particular brands of motion picture that's never going to be coming back into our world. You know, unfortunately, I'm sad to say that we cannot recreate the peplum era right now in the, you know, 21st century. But at least we could look back on back in the 20th century and then kind of relive all the magic and relive all the excitement and relive the entitled sword and sandal concept. And this is the reason why I do this show with you once a month, is because I want to educate our listeners that don't know exactly what this type of picture is all about, that you must
Right. No, it isn't. And Brian Walker, who will be following us today, he's made it his life work to not only support the Cultural Institution of Drive-In Theaters, which is a very big part of Americana and where a lot of these films kept alive for much of their history, but also to help preserve film archives that are collecting the movies that are now in the public domain and are restoring them and making them available for free on the internet. So those are very noble endeavors, and they do much to keep everything going. So I'm very glad that Brian has held aloft the banner and that Sword and Sandal Cinema decided to take up this cause. So it's part of what we're doing as well.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to come to before we close. The review of the group is on Brian's Drive-In, which, of course, is a very viable platform on Facebook right now. And that's what we're going to touch on, so we can get some more people on his page and to kind of rediscover this slice of Americana. And if you remember on a previous show, I mentioned one thing. The one good thing about the pandemic is it brought back the genre of drive-in movies again. And that was the only one of the few pluses that we've been experiencing, that everybody thought the concept of a drive-in movie was dead and gone right now because of the multiplex cinema. And now the tables are turned because the multiplex cinemas are still closed because of the virus. But the drive-in movies during the summer thrived. And I actually took some time and attended some drive-in movie presentations here in Massachusetts.
Very cool.
And the thrill was experienced beyond belief over here, cuz, because of the fact that, you know, we all grew up going to drive-in movies at some point in our lives also. And it's kind of nice that that part of the past, when we thought was dead and buried, is now, you know, resurrected in one way, shape, or form. But obviously now, you know, you can't go to a drive-in movie now with the weather being cold. And we had about a foot and a half of snow last week up here in the Berkshires. So that's pretty much a little bit of a impossibility right now to get people to line up in cars to look at a screen. And then even though they'll be indoors in their nice warm automobiles, it just was not the right atmosphere. But in the spring and summer, it just was perfect. And in even part of the fall, too. So
awesome. I'm looking forward to your take on Ulysses.
Well, let's get to the review right now. As a matter of fact, this is a movie, like I said, that was based on a chapter of Homer's epic poem, The Odyssea, and it was produced by two big names in the film business, the late, great Dino De Laurentiis, of course, who has done many sword and sandal accomplishments throughout his career, and, of course, his other cohort was Carlo Ponti, the husband of Sophia Loren.
Wow.
If you can believe it. And they were the collaborating producers. The director of this picture was Mario, let me just get my glasses here straightened out here, Camerini. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. And Mario Bava also had an uncredited role in directing the movie. Originally, they selected George Wilhelm Pabst, but unfortunately, because of a disagreement with the production company, they pretty much parted ways, so to speak. And that's why Mario Camerini was selected to play the director in this particular picture. And the title role of the Greek hero Ulysses was appropriately played masterfully by the legendary Kirk Douglas, who, of course, we all best know in his best peplum role as Spartacus, if you remember.
Yes.
But he did a fantastic job portraying our legendary hero in this particular picture as well. And Anthony Quinn, who ironically was Zorba the Greek, if you remember, 10 years later in 1964, he had a title role in this picture, portraying a role of Andinos. And the other main character was a lady named Silvana Mangano, who actually portrayed a dual role in this particular movie, as she played Penelope, and she also had another role in this picture, which I'm trying to find on my notes over here. And I'm, I'm a little confused because I was writing all these notes and I kind of like used chicken scratch to get to all of these over here. But it'll come back. It'll come back to me over here. But, of course, the role was of Ulysses, of course, was taken primarily in the palace of Ithaca, Ithaki, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a horde of suitors who were kind of like craving for his wife Penelope after the Trojan War because he failed to return. And Penelope was pretty much pressured into marrying one of the many suitors who wanted her hand in marriage. And basically, Ulysses' son Telemachos was kind of like tired of this idea of, you know, trying to have people, you know, woo their mother, his mother. So he decides to go for an all-out search of his father. And the character of Telemachos was portrayed by another Italian gentleman by the name of Franco Interlenghi. And, oh yeah, Penelope also portrayed the role of Circe in this movie. There we go. I finally found the answer to that, just to let you know.
Okay.
But her part in Circe is coming in a little bit later. So, you know, the action starts also in the nearby island of Phaeacia, where there was a royal princess by the name of Nausicaa, as they find a shipwrecked man washed up on the shore. And he's taken to King Alcinous and Queen Arete, and eventually Nausicaa and this gentleman wind up falling in love. You know, it's usually a lot of, you know, romantic overtones to some of these peplum movies. You
right.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the man has amnesia despite the fact that he's falling in love with this woman over here. And eventually some of his memories are coming back in his life, as a matter of fact. And he is reminiscent of the character of Ulysses, who originally was, and that was when he was returning to Ithaca. And this is because of the desecration of Neptune's temple during the Trojan War. And he pretty much, him and Ulysses and his men have a run-in with the Cyclops Polyphemus, if you remember.
Yes, of course.
And that was portrayed by another gentleman of Italian descent, Umberto Silvestri. And the bottom line is that he has to kill the Cyclops with a stake, and then later on they're, you know, stomping on grapes and, you know, preparing a lot of wine so they can get the Cyclops drunk. And eventually the task of hand is successful, and then the Greeks make their escape from the Cyclops because he actually traps them in there in his lair, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, some of Ulysses' men become midnight snacks, too. And it pretty much some of that, if you remember, is picture, and that was the part that disgusted me, if you remember, all with the Cyclops being a cannibal over here in more ways than one. But excuse me. But Ulysses heads over to the Rock of the Sirens, who then later on try to put him in their spell, and then the ship goes to another island eventually, and then he unfortunately finds his men transformed into pigs, if you can believe it.
Of course, that's
what
she's
known
for.
And this was because of the sorceress Circe. That is Silvana Mangero's second role in the movie, because she played Penelope and Circe. And the main reason is why, because she fell in love with Ulysses. And Ulysses wanted to leave, but she didn't. So that was the retaliation, that his men got turned to pigs, believe it or not. And you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
That's what Kirki was known for. Kirki, or Circe, as she's called in English, she would turn people into the animals that they most resembled. So if someone was noble, like a lion, they'd be a lion. Somebody like Odysseus, If he didn't have immunity given to him by Hermie, he would have turned into a fox probably because of his slyness. And his men, I guess, were pigs at heart because that's what they turned into.
That's correct. And eventually, Circe obviously falls in love with Ulysses, but, you know, he just doesn't want any part of her. But and he winds up trying to escape from the island. But Circe warns that Neptune will strike them down when they are setting out to sea, and then, of course, the elements would take care of the rest after that. And Ulysses just is determined as he built a raft, and he pretty much, wanted to escape this little clutch of power that Circe had because he just didn't trust her. And he pretty much was very upset about the fact that he lost a lot of his men for her sorceress powers. And eventually she says, okay, take a hike, but you have to deal with Neptune in the aftermath. And Neptune, of course, is a.k.a. Poseidon, Poseidon, in one way, shape, or form, if you remember. So he had his little run-in with Poseidon, the king of the sea. But he pretty much did manage to make it back home. And he finally meets up again with Penelope, and then, you know, he pretty much becomes a suitor again, even though he really was married to her. That's the irony of it all. And he pretty much finds his pet hunting dog, Argos, if you remember.
Yes.
And then, you know, Telemachos recognizes that Ulysses, pretty much disguised as a beggar, was actually his real father. And then finally they kind of have this little reunion over here. And then Penelope stages an archery contest. And then this is like you were talking about the bow, you know?
Right.
They pretty much found a hunting bow and fire an arrow. And they had to fire an arrow through a dozen axe heads in order to win the suitors contest. And Ulysses is pretty much roped into joining the contest. But he does wind up winning. And then Telemachus and his servants pretty much slay all the suitors who pretty much want his wife, you know, his hand in marriage. You know what I mean? And then eventually Ulysses and Penelope and Telemachus live happily ever after. And that is the end of the review of the movie, which kind of takes us back to our days when we were reading the works of Homer. And it's like I said, this is very much a very similar atmosphere in regard to your alter ego, Hercules, you know? And eventually the Hercules brand flourished, and the rest is history.
Yes, it's odd. Hercules actually lived in the generation before Odysseus. Odysseus lived during the Trojan War, and Heracles put the king of Troy during the Trojan War. He was an old man during time, Priam. Hercules put him on the throne of Troy as a young man. But that's a story for another day, and we're coming to the end of our conversation. Can you share with people how they can tap into your work creatively? And if you care to announce some of your... Sure.
Before I get to that, I just wanted to drop in the group that we were focusing, which is Brian's Drive-In, and Brian's going to be your guest immediately following my segment. And I just want to encourage people to go on Brian's Facebook page to like it and to actually partake in the education of a slice of Americana, which is making its return here despite the circumstances beyond our control. But Brian puts together a very, very informative and very, very good page and is pretty much bringing back the genre of cinema in more ways than one. And one of these days I would love to converse with him and chat more about his, well, in-depth knowledge of how he's putting this all together. So my recommendation, if you want to join a Facebook group that, of course, is very much instrumental in what we're talking about here, then Brian's page is the page to go to.
Thank you very much. Yes, we could definitely arrange a talk. As I'm working on the changes for 2021, I plan on sending out emails and plan on getting people together to talk, both on and off the air. So that is definitely something I'd love to arrange, to have both you guys together and for all of us to dream powerfully and make this an even better and more viable show in the year ahead.
Absolutely, and with the contributions that Andrea is going to bring also to our group next month for the new year, that's even going to make things even sweeter.
Yes, she brings a whole new dimension of history and culture that's portrayed, albeit in a twisted manner, in the Peplum film. So we're going to get a grounding in the reality of what was going on in Greco-Roman times. And yes, that is a whole new dimension. So thank you for introducing her to the show, and I'm glad she's part of the team.
Well, you know, Sweetums is definitely going to be a true asset to the group in 2021, guaranteed, and I'm glad that she's on board with us, and she's really going to enhance the broadcast on the Coliseum for sure. So let me run down exactly how people can follow me over here. For the rest of this year of 2020, I am off my midday shift because my boss, Jesse Stewart, is on vacation, so I'm doing the morning show. And you can tune me in at 6 o'clock in the morning this week and next week. And I'll be back on my midday shift after the new year, January 4th, which starts at 10. But you can definitely tune in if you're locally listening in South County, Massachusetts, or Northwestern Connecticut, or Eastern New York. You can tune in to 860 on your AM dial or 94.1 FM. We encourage everybody that's listening to download our free WSBS app, which is available at Google Play or at your local app store, and you can access that to your tablet, smartphone, or mobile device, and you can take us along wherever you go with no reception issues. Of course, we are portable. That's the good thing. And we also are available via the website, WSBS.com, where you can hit the Listen Now banner and our stream will pop in within seconds. You'll be able to listen to our programming. And while you're there, we have a tab called Listen. And if you want to access a smart speaker device like WSBS on Alexa or WSBS on Google Home, you tap on one of those icons, and then we will be able to give you step-by-step instructions on how to get that going as well. So there's many ways that you can listen to your hometown station in the Berkshires and all across the tri-state region. And like I said, I am doing the early morning duty right now. That's why I got to bow out a little early, because I'm readjusting my bedtime schedule, because I get up a lot earlier now for the morning show than I would for my regular shift during the middays. But I keep in mind we will be off on Christmas Day, because we're running wall-to-wall Christmas music all day and all night that day. And then I'll be back Saturday morning with our regular brand of entertaining music and features and stuff. And we do the Trading Post. We do a Saturday morning chat on the first half of the weekend. And it's just absolutely a delightful program to listen to. And, you know, without you on the other side, it just wouldn't be possible, because my audience is everything to me. And anybody that tunes in, my motto is, if I put a smile on your face, that means I've completed my job and my task at hand.
Awesome. And if you can kindly send me all the links in the email, I'll gladly post them whenever you're on the show or whenever I do a focus on our podcasters. I just did one in Sword and Sandal Cinema. So if you find the announcement for you and your show, just add all the links there. And so I'll just keep
When I get in first thing in the morning tomorrow, I'll take care of that for you, cuz. Okay. But I just want to take some time and wish you, Athena, and all your listeners a very Merry Christmas, despite the fact this is going to be a different holiday amongst the rest, where we can't gather in droves over here because of this dreaded COVID-19 pandemic. My suggestion is, make your get-togethers short, sweet, and small, because remember, we want to stop the spread and we want people to come back again next year and enjoy a much more fruitful and much more bountiful holiday season. I mean, this year it's going to be a little bit of an inconvenience for all of us. And, of course, on a personal note for me, I'm not very much celebrating Christmas, obviously, because with the loss of my mom in the spring, it's very, very difficult. Your aunt, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a difficult season for me to be in a festive mood right now. So, but next year I know I will rejuvenate, I'll recharge, and we'll all be together as a family again. And, you know, it all takes teamwork because we're all in this together. We all have to definitely make the sacrifice this year. I know it's difficult. I know you want to be with your loved ones this holiday season. But, you know, unfortunately, the coronavirus does not take a time out. It doesn't care about it. It's a holiday or anything else. So you have to try to keep yourself safeguarded and keep yourself protected. So if you're going to get together, make it a small gathering, make it an intimate gathering with selected people, and then next year we'll be back to hopefully in the sense of normalcy over here. And I also want to take some time personally and wish your mom, my aunt slash godmother, who is now my official second mom, Elizabeth, a very happy and healthy 89th birthday tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much. We have to cut out, but I will talk to you very soon. And next year will be better for us all, I promise. Be
Amen
well,
to Todd. That, brother. Merry okay, Christmas to you. I love you.
I love you, too, to you as well. Bye-bye.
Kali nikhta.
Kali nikhta. And that was Ron Carson, Ron Carson's Coliseum. And our last segment for the day is Brian's Drive-In Theater. Greetings, Brian. How are you?
I am well tonight, Hercules. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Spent a lot of the day playing with different ideas for next year, so I'm pretty hyped up about it.
Well, and you know, it's that time of year. You know, it's the time of year to reflect, you know, back on, you know, what you know, sort of unpack, you know, the year as it was, and I'm sure there's a lot of fodder for that. But it's also a time to be grateful, I think, you know, at the end of the year, you know, to count your blessings, so to speak, and to, you know, kind of pat yourself on the back for getting through another year and being optimistic about the next one, I think is so important.
I think so as well. I'm generally pretty grateful about a lot of things. I mean, this has been a challenging year for everybody. Every day I look at the things that I'm grateful for and I acknowledge them and I try to demonstrate my appreciation in any way I can. You know, we live in very uncertain times, but times are always uncertain when you really think about it.
Yes.
And nothing, no moment is guaranteed. So I try to appreciate
that. Is a very good point. That's a very good point. I can think of, you know, so many times throughout my life when I thought, wow, you know, this is pretty dire, or this is history making. And, you know, over the course of 5 or 6 decades, you start to realize that, oh, there's always something to worry about. You know what I mean?
And I've been working on internal things too. Like I meditate. I think that's an open secret at this point. I meditate twice a day, and I've been trying to do some other mental exercises too, for my creativity, for my memory. Memory, especially as I'm getting older, is not as good as it used to be once upon a time. I'm finding that I'm reacting to like the political news. So I have to stop watching as much of it as I'm watching, I guess, because it doesn't.
You know, I know what you mean. I had to give that up. You know, I had to turn off news about 20 years ago, quite honestly. And I find that, you know, I feel more informed if I read my news as opposed to it being spoken to me. I don't know if it hits you that way or not, but I'd prefer to, you know, look at different sources and, you know, try to piece, you know, the reality of it together for myself, as opposed to, you know, having somebody synthesize it for me.
I don't have as much time to read as I used to. I love reading, but my reading time is very limited these days. I used to read a book a day. That's how much I used to read. But I can't do that anymore. If I finish a book every few weeks, I'm lucky. So I started watching it, but it's everything's very reactive, and it seems like we have a culture of outrage now, where everything, regardless of which side you happen to take or whatever view you happen to hold, the information being given is given in such a way as to make you feel outraged. So I don't like feeling outraged.
Well, no. But you know what? We're sort of early on in all of this, where, you know, thanks to social media, everybody truly has a voice now.
Yes.
And you oftentimes you may not agree with that voice, but we're sort of in the early days of it, and it is kind of a free for all right now. I think I know what you mean about that, and it can be upsetting and nerve-wracking and such. I just hope that out of this grows some sense of need for everyone to be informed.
Yes.
You know, get as much detail on a situation as you can. You don't settle for a 10-second soundbite. You know, do some research. Dig deeply into it. It's so easy now. All of the information is you at your fingertips. You can access it through your iPhone. I just want people to, you know, start fact checking, you know, maybe a little more, and
right,
you know, look at the messages that, you know, your politicians are putting out there. You know, the morals that are on display and so forth, and, you know, synthesize all of that and make up your own mind. Don't settle for some talking head, you know, on television to tell you what you should be thinking.
I agree 100%. One of the things I'm devoting more time and energy to in the year ahead is informed voting, again, regardless of what side you happen to take or what view you happen to hold, there are many complaints about, you know, the voting generally. Some of it is due to, as you pointed out, not having the information, which, as you pointed out, is inexcusable in this day and age because there's so many different sources of information. So I started compiling a resource of which sites are more trustworthy. You know, and you know, there you can go to get information that is generally considered trustworthy. If you want to look at what people's voting records are, like despite what people are saying, how are they actually voting? There are sites for that too. So if you want to see what they actually did, you can go over there. And it's not a partisan thing. And I'm an elected official too, so I am partisan in my private views. This site is nonpartisan. It's just, how do you know what is the actuality? And yes, the actuality is in dispute, but where are the more reliable sources of information that aren't trying to influence you or make you think a particular way, but are just giving you the facts as the facts are understood? So that's going to be one of my goals. I will be picking your brain, since that is something that you seem to hold dear as well.
I do, and it is important to, you know, investigate your sources, and, you know, even with, you know, a website or a media outlet that you might feel comfortable with, or one that you've grown to trust. I mean, question that trust. You know, look into the information you're being given. I mean, how are they cooking it? How is it being synthesized? Nothing's raw, and at the end of the day, everybody's trying to sell soap. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you've got an advertiser, you're already leveraged. You know, you're already compromised there. But you know, a lot of the stuff that you read online, I mean, I do think it's great that, you can self-publish now. You can sort of hang your shingle out, call yourself an authority, but you'd better be prepared to back that up too, because
right.
you will be questioned on it by someone, certainly. And I got to tell you, over the last 23 years, I've been questioned many times, you know, about the information on my website. And Brian's Drive-In Theater is, you obviously, it's my effort, but it's also been, you know, contributed to by lots and lots of different people over the years. Some of whom I'm still in contact with, you know, thanks again to social media, you know, particularly mm-hmm. Facebook. But, for some of us, you know, particularly, my website, it's sort of been a compendium. You know, a lot of people have contributed information. And, you know, in the early days, in the 90s, there was just precious little, if any, information about Peplum Films, on the web. And I was so grateful in the early days, the website's been online for nearly 23 years. On wow. February 1st, that'll be my 23rd anniversary. And, from day one, it was, it was informed by not just me, but a lot of different people. And, when information is scarce, sometimes it's not always accurate, but I hope that I've tried to evolve the website over the years, putting in, more reliable information, putting in better photos and such. And, I'm human. I've made, a number of mistakes on the website. I've tried to correct them, as people have let me know. it happens. And, these films can be kind of difficult to track because, in every country, for some of the films, they may have had a different title. And in different languages, dubbing, is going to change, some of the meaning of the dialogue. It can't even change the plot, depending on how it's dubbed.
Yes. Because I speak and can read Greek, I know that watching some of these movies and other movies in Greece and knowing the difference between the original dialogue and what was dubbed or what was on the subtitles, it's often dramatically different. It's like you're watching a different movie.
Yeah, and that's kind of exciting, too, if you think about it. Just some... what amounts to relatively minor cultural differences can you really put a different spin, on a plot line or even just, a snippet of dialogue?
Yes, you can. And it's even like, I remember I was watching one movie that I'd seen in America and this was subtitled. So it was even more dramatic. And somebody called somebody else something really horrible. I mean, it was cursing to an extreme degree. And the translation on the bottom was, "You're a jerk." Very simple. But I've seen entire plots be different or woven through words or through like a different translation into Greek or from Greek into English for that matter. So yeah, you could, because what are people, it's what you see and what you hear. So if you're hearing and you don't know what people are talking about. And in that Hercules movie where they, Hercules Returns.
Yes.
They even made a reference to that, a comment to that. They left something Italian in and said, "Oh, we're not going to be talking about anything important, so let's just switch scenes," so.
And, that's a really, Hercules Returns is a really fun movie.
Yes. Well,
we talked about this a few weeks ago. I was able to see it on Amazon Prime a few weeks ago, and it's really well done. It's done on a shoestring budget, but it's funny, and it was thoughtfully produced. Somebody with a brain was behind it, trying to do something interesting. And it's always nice to see, moments of intellect or shots of genius, as you're watching as you're trying to appreciate, you know, some sort of work, whether it is, you know, a book that you're reading or a film that you're watching.
Very, very true. I'm going to be contacting everybody in the next couple of weeks for some changes, and I'll be sharing more about the audiovisual show that's coming up. And Sword and Sandal Cinema will be the first thing, and it'll be tied to that project where we're going to be supporting libraries, including the archive library. So I'm ready to start talking about that in greater depth, and I will. So there's a lot of exciting things happening in the months ahead. And unfortunately, today we're nearing the end of our conversation. I'd like to give you time to welcome people to the incarnations of Brian Straven Theater.
And thank you very much for that opportunity. Again, it's been online for almost 23 years, and it's sort of, you know, my own personal shrine to the movies that I've loved throughout life, and those are B movies. A lot of people think that B movies, you know, the B in B movie is you know, stands for bad or is synonymous for bad. It is not, and I don't agree with that at all. It just means that these movies are typically have a lower budget than an A quality picture. That's the only difference. You know, some of these actors, you know, toggled between A's and B's. They might have been a supporting player in an A film, but the star, you know, in a B. And that's where these actors really get to shine, too. They've got nothing to lose, and they don't mind going a little over the top for a performance if it's going to make a difference, if it's going to make it stand out. And these movies are fascinating to watch. Fortunately, you can see a lot of them for free on the web legally. Uh-huh. You know, if you do belong to Amazon Prime, you know, a lot of older films will be free and available to Prime members. You can always go to archive.org, which I think is a fantastic repository, you know, for all things public domain. And you can find, you know, some great entertainment out there. Remember back, you know, 40 years ago when we were both young, you actually had to pay, you know, most of the time you had to pay for entertainment. And now there's so much available that that's free of charge. We live in some ways we live in just wonderful, fantastic times, and having that access at our fingertips, we can just, you know, use our remote controls or, you know, pull out our devices or our laptops and be entertained at any one particular time. I as a young man, I never dreamed that something like that would happen.
Nor did I, nor that we'd have like Jetsons technology now, which the pandemic helped to speed up, where people are talking to each other over television sets, you know, or our computer screens.
And routinely at that, yes.
Yeah.
You're right. As a matter of fact, I'll be teaching this spring, and I'll be teaching a business communication course at the university where I work. I will be doing it online, but it will be a synchronous class. It will meet three times a week at 12:30, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's the first time that I've ever taught a class like this. I've always taught on site. I've never taught online. And it's going to be a challenge, but, you know, I think it will also help, you know, and maybe I can be helpful, you know, as you do move, you know, your various podcasts online.
Thank you so much, Brian. They're going to cut us off in less than a minute. I really appreciate your coming onto the show. Happy holiday, happy new year, and I look forward to the adventures ahead with you.
Thank you so much, Hercules. I hope your holidays are wonderful, and I think things are looking up for 2021, and I hope you do too.
I'm an optimist, and I believe that as well. Thanks again, and thanks for being you and all you do, and you're awesome.
Take care. Thank you.
And thanks to everybody who's joined us. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and a wonderful holiday and end of the year season. Have a great day.